Christianity is congregational. We are family. And there are many brothers who stand from behind this pulpit and who address us as family. And that's what we are. But where there is congregation and where there is family, there must be forgiveness. Just how important is forgiveness? What Jesus said about it is, if you will forgive men when they sin against you, then God will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men who sin against you, then God will not forgive you. You see, brethren, God, Jesus knew. He knew. We can never be congregational. We can never be family. We can never possess real happiness. We can never have long and lasting peace without forgiveness. So before we begin this morning, I want us to define what it is we're going to be talking about. So let's take a look at forgiveness defined. Now, if you go to an English dictionary, any English dictionary, and if you look up the word forgive or the word forgiveness, this is a definition that you will receive. Quote, to cease to be free from resentment. Another definition you will receive is this: to give up retaliation. Now, those two definitions sound just like they came out of the dictionary. They didn't they? But brethren, what forgiveness really is, and the best definition and the best description in the world of forgiveness is for us to take a look at how it is God forgives. In Hebrews chapter 8 and in verse 12, God said, "I will remember their sin no more." God said, "I'm going to take the offense that you've done to me, and I'm just not going to remember it anymore." In the book of Micah, chapter 7, and in verse 19, God said, "I will take all of their sins, and I will cast them into the depths of the sea." Do you know there have been planes that have gone down in the sea that they have never found? In Psalm 103 and in verse 12, God said, "I will remove their sins from them as far as the east is from the west." The word that is used in the Bible that addresses divine forgiveness, that is God's forgiveness toward us, many times the word that is used is the word which means release. Release. So let's begin this morning by asking this question. Why is forgiveness so necessary? Why is forgiveness necessary? Let me suggest to you first, you have to follow. Forgiveness is necessary because forgiveness is crucial to our personal and to the congregation's health. Did you grab that? In the book of Job, chapter 5, and about verse 7, in the New International Version, the Bible says that resentment kills a fool. Brethren, resentment kills. You see, it is resentment. It is our lack of forgiveness that causes us to keep clinging to the past. It is resentment that causes us to take our past hurts and to get hurt with them over and over and over and over again. Resentment, this unforgiving spirit, it kills. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 26, Paul says, do not go to bed while you are angry. Let it go. Set it free. Now, why? Why? Because it is good for you personally. I'm telling you, there is an awesome destructive power in a person's spirit that will not forgive another. It is destructive to you mentally. It is destructive to you emotionally. It is destructive to you physically. It is destructive to you spiritually. Listen, forgiveness is necessary because forgiveness is crucial to your personal health. You have to let this thing go for you. But forgiveness is necessary because it's good for congregational unity. All of us who have been in the church any time, all of us who have been in the church any time, we know of congregations that have divided. We know of congregations that have split. We know of congregations that have been destroyed. We know of places that have embarrassed each other, that have been a disgrace in the eyes of God. And all of it was because of members who wouldn't forgive each other. You gotta let this go. We Why is forgiveness so necessary? Forgiveness is necessary because forgiveness is crucial to your personal health, and because forgiveness is crucial to the health of the congregation, you have to release that mess. Why is forgiveness so necessary? Secondly, because it is so crucial to your relationship with God. Again, the passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Jesus said, now listen to it. If you will forgive those who sin against you, then God will forgive you. But if you will not forgive those who sin against you, then God will not forgive you. Now listen carefully here. How I respond to those who have wronged me will affect how God responds to me when I have sinned against Him. Forgiveness is crucial. Why? Why is it so necessary? Because of our own personal health, because of our congregational health. Why is forgiveness so necessary? It's necessary because it's crucial to our relationship with God. But thirdly, forgiveness is so necessary because forgiveness is crucial to our influence in the world. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and in verse 35, Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Jesus said, the way the world is going to know that Highland belongs to me is by the way we're going to love each other. But brethren, there can only be love if there can be forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, in defining love, in verse 5, Paul says that love keeps no record of wrong. If you're keeping track of who's done what and how many times who's done what, then that means there is no love. And where there is no love, there can be no forgiveness. And where there is no love and no forgiveness, there can be no influence for good that comes from us out into the world. Ask yourself this question. Is there any hate in heaven? Is there any resentment in heaven? Is there any retribution in heaven? Is there any division in heaven? If we're going to have an influence that will show the world that we belong to Jesus, then we must have a love that is strong enough to forgive each other, because nobody wants to be a part of a group of people who are not forgiving. They got that out there. Now, we're about to pivot to the lesson, but I got to get this nailed down with you. Why Why is forgiveness so necessary? Because it's crucial to my personal health. Listen, if you let it go, your blood pressure will come down some. And if your blood pressure comes down some, you can eat the ribs. How's that for an incentive of letting it go? You can't go to your doctor and get stuff like this. I want you to understand this. Forgiveness is necessary because it's crucial to my personal health, me, Fox, but it's also crucial to the health of this congregation. Forgiveness is necessary because it's crucial to my relationship with God. When it comes to God and forgiveness, if I want some, I got to give some. And it's crucial to our influence in the world. Now that brings us to the heart of the lesson. Number two, I want to share with you three New Testament principles about forgiveness. Now, I want you to follow me here because, brethren, we stumble here. We stumble here. These are principles that I am lifting out of the New Testament about forgiveness, and I'm going to set these down right here. Principle number one, forgiveness is a personal choice. Did you hear me? Forgiveness is a personal choice. Now here's what I mean. This is the choice. This is it. Either you forgive or you dig in. There's no third option somewhere. Either you forgive or you dig in. You dig into hate, you dig into bitterness, you dig into resentment, you dig into retaliation. Listen, forgiveness is set forth on the pages of the New Testament. Forgiveness is a personal issue. You have a choice and you are in control of the choice you make. Forgiveness is a personal choice. Either I choose to let this go, or I choose to sink into this. You got it? Number two. You're going to blink, and some of you are going to say, no, but listen to it. The second principle of the New Testament on forgiveness is this. Forgiveness only takes one. And that's you. Forgiveness only takes one. That's you. Are you listening? Reconciliation takes two. Forgiveness only takes one. F- forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is an act of my will. Are you listening? No. Are you listening? My forgiveness of somebody else doesn't depend upon their behavior toward me. My forgiveness of somebody else does not depend upon their behavior toward me. I can forgive whoever I choose to forgive. You say, where are you getting at? All over the Bible. All over the Bible. Remember Joseph's brothers? They took their own flesh and blood and sold him as a slave and went back and died and lied to their daddy about it. Joseph's life was turned upside down on the journey he went through. But over 20 years later, Joseph had become a leader in Egypt, and Joseph came back face to face with these no-account siblings of his. Are you listening? Joseph forgave his brothers before his brothers showed any sign of repentance toward him. Read the record. Look at David. King Saul hunted down David like David was a dog. In fact, if Saul had done to a dog today what he did to David, they'd have put Saul in jail for doing this to a dog. David forgave Saul while Saul was still in pursuit of him. I cannot lift up my hand against this man. Brethren, look at Jesus. Some of his very last words were words of forgiveness toward those who were killing him. In Luke chapter 23 and in verse 34, hold this, Luke 23 and in verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We all know that, right? Catch this. That's the first statement he made from the cross. He made seven. That was the first one. That statement, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that statement is in a content of a perfect sense. What does that mean? It's in a tense that's perfect. What does that mean? That means this was a statement that he didn't make just once, but he made it over and over again. In other words, he kept saying, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, they don't know. Father, forgive them, they don't know. It's in a present tense. He just kept saying it. They're laying him on a cross. Father, forgive them. They're nailing him to that cross. Father, forgive them. They lift that cross up and set it in the ground. Father, forgive them. Listen to me, brethren. What we have got to learn, what we have got to understand, is that there is a difference between reconciliation and forgiveness. Are you listening? I can forgive somebody who may not immediately reconcile to me. I can forgive somebody who may never reconcile with me. Forgiveness is an event. Reconciliation is a process. Now I'm going to say this, and this will come down on me. But I have had so many things come down on me, I just don't see where one more coming down on me is going to hurt. Some people are hateful. Now, you don't know anybody like this, but let me tell you about some folk in my life. They were hateful 10 years ago. They're hateful today. In 10 years from now, they're still going to be hateful. When they die and you lay them out, they're going to be laying there with that same snarl on their face that the undertaker couldn't even surgically remove from them. And if you cross them, you are on the list, and you are never getting off that list. I can choose to forgive them. I'm going to talk about what that means in a minute. I can choose to forgive them, and they may not ever reconcile with me. I can choose to forgive them, and they wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire. But that's on them. That's on them. Forgiveness is a personal choice. Either you let this go or you dig in on this. Forgiveness only takes one. Reconciliation takes two. Forgiveness takes one. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. But the only person that I control is the guy who looks back at me in the mirror. Principle number three. Principle number three. Forgiveness. Biblical forgiveness is putting the incident behind you. Now I want you to listen to me. Are we together? And you're listening. Here it is. Biblical forgiveness. Scriptural forgiveness. Forgiveness that comes out of that book. Biblical forgiveness is not erasing from your brain what happened. My brain does not have a delete key. I'm sorry. My brain does not have a delete key. It doesn't. If somebody does something to me, I can't just hit a key and it's gone. Biblical forgiveness, forgiving, is when on purpose you put the incident behind you and then say, now we go carry on. Now we're going to carry on. Let me illustrate it. Clara Barton. Clara Barton was the founder of the American Red Cross. She was interviewed one time, and the interviewer said to her, the interviewer brought up an incident in her life where Clara Barton verbally was just viciously attacked, verbally. And all kind of foolish nonsense was said about her that was just vicious. And the interviewer brought this up to Clara Barton about what had happened to her, and when she brought it up, Clara Barton had this real puzzled look on her face. Like, and the interviewer then pressed her. She says, "Are you telling me you don't remember that vicious assault verbally that was put on you?" And Clara Barton said this, "I distinguishly remember forgetting that." Did you hear what I said? I distinctly remember forgetting that. What did she do? She put it behind her. Because if you don't put it behind you, then you got to carry it around. And I'm telling you, it gets heavy. And this person who has hurt you, if you carry it around, you are giving that person the power to keep hurting you. Do not give anybody that power. It's a personal choice. It only takes one. And what it is on purpose, I'm going to put this behind me. Now, crazy people are just going to keep being crazy. But you don't have to be crazy with them. Finally, one more thing. Why should we forgive? Why should we forgive? I'll give you two reasons. Brethren, number one, we should forgive because God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32, "Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving one another, just like God in Christ has forgiven us." I need to forgive because I've been forgiven. The second reason you need to forgive is because relationships are worth it. Holding on to a non-forgiving spirit is what robs us of our relationship with our children. Holding on to a non-forgiving spirit is what robs us of our relationship with our parents. "Well, my mama, you know what? I know your mama. Everybody knows your mama." Carrying around an unforgiving spirit is what robs us of our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, forgiveness is worth brethren fellowshipping. Relationships are worth it. They're worth it. Say, preacher, but what this whole thing, what you're talking about here, isn't natural and it isn't normal. And you're exactly correct. What I'm talking about is Christian. It's Christian. So this morning, here is the invitation. This morning, is the invitation is this. Do whatever you have to do to leave here forgiven. Now, if you're not a Christian, then that means you have to act upon God's grace to you. And the way you act upon that grace is through faith. If you're not a Christian, in order for you to leave here forgiven, you have to obey the gospel of Christ. You have to come into a relationship with God. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you are a Christian, the only way for you to leave here forgiven is you have to forgive. You have to put this behind you. They're never going to change. That's on them. That's on them. They are who they are. That's on them. That's on them. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to live the way I'm supposed to live. And what everybody else does is what everybody else is going to do. Paul said in Romans 12, "For as much as possible, you live at peace with all men." But let me tell you something about relationships. You only control one side of it. You control your side of it. And if whoever it is in your life flies off the handle every time you look at them cross-eyed, then you know what? They just going to fly off the handle, but they're not going to fly off the handle with me because I ain't flying off with them. They're not worth it. Nobody is worth it. Brethren, Christianity is congregational. And congregation is family. And we are family. And in family, there must be forgiveness. So we have to cut each other some slack. And we got to let people be who they are. And if who they are is nonsense, then you don't have to get up in their business, forgive from a distance. We together? You understand what I'm saying? This is congregational forgiveness. If I want some, I got to give some. So I'll forgive you for all the awful things you've done to me. And if I ever do anything to you, then you can forgive that. That just shot right over you. I should have quit. If I'd have quit 30 seconds ago, I'd have been better off. This morning, if you're here, if you're not a Christian, then you're not forgiven. Leave here forgiven. This morning, if you're here and you're away from God, look, whatever you have to do to leave here a forgiven person, you do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.